Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Good evening, listeners. This is Divya and so thrilled to be with you. It's Monday evening, my favorite time. And I'm sure you've heard me say that before, but I can never say it enough. So, folks, you know, I heard something very cool because my book has been out and just wanted to share something. You know, we'll be doing something different on certain shows. So just wanted to share what's happening in my life. And I would also invite you to share something exciting that may be happening in your life. So I'm going to be covered on a magazine cover. So very excited to be featured on a magazine cover, and I'll be sharing more about it on the next show. And it all happened because of my book, folks, Expert to Influencer. So if you have not grabbed your copy, make sure to go grab it. So that was the fun part for me for this week, you know, super excited about it. And do share with me what's exciting for you. And I want to share with you, we have a very exciting guest with us, Vitaly Buford. Welcome, Vitaly.
Oh, welcome. Thanks for having me. And congratulations on your magazine cover.
Oh, it's not out yet, but super excited about it.
Yes.
Thank you. So, folks, Vitaly is a change agent. She's about transforming organizations, groups, and individuals. She's a certified through IPAC, executive coach, international speaker, and author featured in the New York Times. She is the author of the upcoming book, Addicted to Perfect, detailing her 10-year struggle with Adderall and perfectionism. Her experience includes more than a decade working in marketing and business development for a variety of industries and professional service organizations. She brings a personal experience, professional education, and training along with her specialized healing techniques, together to create a unique coaching system, one that gets to the root of the issue to bring about lasting and real change. She lives in central Kentucky with her son and a dog. I love dogs.
Me too. So,
welcome again, Vitaly.
Thank you.
And usually we get started from childhood, and I would love to invite you that, you know, when you were a little girl, did you go about fixing your room. You know, we're talking about perfectionism, keeping all your toys straight. Or was it something that you learned from someone?
It's something I learned from someone. I grew up in a household. My mother is an alcoholic, and I thought that I needed to be perfect to be loved. So that really followed me into adulthood. But you know, when we talk about perfectionism, I'm not talking about you need to have a desk full night.
So, Vitaly, I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. I'll be closer. Sorry. So, I'm talking about like more of the deep roots of perfectionism, which looks like comparison, control, conflict avoidance, people pleasing, approval seeking, body image issues, procrastination. And so those are the things that really look like that's how perfectionism, those are some of the symptoms of perfectionism. And for me, it started as a young girl because I noticed that if I was skinny and I made good grades, I got attention from my parents. And so that just became something very important to me. So I became my achievements, and I became what I looked like instead of who I was as a person.
So that must have been tough for a young girl, especially, you know, when you're a kid, it's all about going out, playing, getting dirty, or messing up.
Right.
How did that impact your childhood?
Well, you know, I was all about everything outside of myself. So making really good grades, being in the best extracurriculars, you know, playing in sports, making sure I got into the right college, making sure I was thin enough. And so that really consumed me instead of just being present and being a child.
And it's unfortunate, but our society has a way of putting all these expectations, and I call them false expectations. For example, what, you know, you mentioned about being skinny and having good grades. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that being skinny is wrong or getting good grades is wrong. What I mean here is that if you are happy, as long as you're healthy, that's what matters. And how would you differentiate between societal expectations and personal expectations?
Yeah, so, you know, society tells us to be productive and to be perfect. And then, you know, for me, a lot of it, while there was societal expectations, I became like my worst critic. And so I think for me, I was mostly driven internally by these expectations.
No, that definitely makes sense. So as you grew up, what direction did your life take?
Yeah, so then I went to college and I started gaining weight. I'd always been, quote, naturally thin, and I was obsessed with diets and being thin. And then my boyfriend introduced me to Adderall because I was taking a bunch of classes and working two part-time jobs. And so I took it, and it was, quote, the perfect drug, you know, like it allowed me to, you know, stay up till 2 a.m. and work without interruption. I lost like 20 pounds in a matter of like maybe 3 or 4 weeks without even doing anything. And I became hooked. And so for 10 years, I had an addiction to Adderall, and nobody knew. I looked perfect on the outside. You know, had a very successful corporate career, was climbing the corporate ladder, working till 2 or 3 a.m. every day, literally. And I was, you know, extremely thin. And everyone was like, you look so perfect. Your life is so perfect. But I was dying because I was, you know, constantly, like I was living this secret life of an Adderall addict.
And yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I've healed it. It's led me to where I am today.
And that's really a great way of looking at it, because every adversity brings possibilities. And yet we would wish that, you know, for young girls or for young boys, for our next generation, that this does not seep into their lives. So talking right. about that, you know, you talked about parents. I would like to touch a little bit upon parents and going back to childhood, because I'm really passionate about our youth. Yeah. I love to mentor them, and they're so tender at that age that they're so impressionable. So what would you say to parents of kids who are growing up as to there is, and some of it is inborn and some of it is learned. Mm-hmm. So let's say, regardless of whether it's inborn or learned, how can they model so that kids do not have the need for perfectionism?
I think that I'm really, really passionate about this too. And I believe that when we heal, when we do our own healing, we indirectly heal those around us. So when you heal yourself, you indirectly heal your children. When you heal your perfectionism, you stop projecting that, you know, that perfectionism onto your children. You stop projecting that perfectionism onto other people. And so I think the number one thing you can do is do your own healing, whether that's see a therapist or hire a coach or, you know, listen to podcasts and read books, you know, but to focus on your own healing and growth, I believe, is the number one thing, right? It's that put the oxygen mask on yourself first, and then you can put it on your child. And so I think that's the number one thing. And then, you know, for me, you know, it's all about just allowing your children to be their unique selves, you know, allowing them to feel their feelings, communicating with them, you know, like when we project our unhealed traumas or issues onto our children, like catching ourselves and saying, you know what? I totally overreacted with you. I'm so sorry. You know, like I'm working on that. I'm going to try not to do that again in the future. It's just about being open and being aware and just willingness.
Yeah. Awareness and mindfulness can go a long ways. So tell us, you know, you talked about Adderall, and how many years did you take, if you don't mind my asking, and how did you get rid of it from your life?
Yeah, so I was an Adderall addict for 10 years. So I went from taking like 20 milligrams a day to, at the end of my addiction, I was taking 360 milligrams a day, which is a lot of Adderall. I was at the end of the 10 years, two doctors had found out about each other, had found out that I was seeing them, because my addiction was, you know, required multiple prescriptions because my tolerance for it had increased so much over the 10 years. And so for me, it required multiple, like I was doctor shopping, which is illegal. So two doctors found out about each other and they stopped prescribing me Adderall. And this had happened before in the middle of my addiction, in the middle of the 10 years. But at this point, because it had been going on for 10 years, I was just done. I was ready to live a different life. I was ready to not be a slave to Adderall. And so I finally got on my knees and I prayed to God to help me. And a week later, I ended up driving myself to rehab, and I've been sober for 5.5 years.
Oh, that's beautiful. And we have questions coming in from our listeners.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Pam, thank you for asking. Pam is asking, does everyone have a bit of it? So I'm assuming the perfectionism, a bit of perfectionism in some parts of our lives?
That's a great question. And I believe so. I believe perfectionism is the most pervasive thing holding people back in their lives. But it just depends on the degree. So is it running your life, or is it, you know, does it show up? So for me, it doesn't run my life anymore because I've healed it. I've healed so much of it. But yes, I think that everyone has some level of perfectionism. It's just the degree to which it's running your life and how it shows up in your life. Are you procrastinating all the time? Are you comparing yourself to other women all the time? Are you, you know, stuck in body shame? Are you avoiding conflict with your partner or a coworker? It shows up in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And as you said, the degree of it matters. And folks, sometimes it's okay. It's about accepting it. And if it shows up, it can be, you know, perfectionism in some places can be a boon. For example, like if you're a perfectionist in getting things right before you're leaving your house, making sure, like, you know, you're double checking on everything. Like if the gas is closed, if the windows are closed, you're locking the door. So in events like that, it's okay. And it's important to see it from different perspectives. Going to Hetty's question, where can we find our will to do thing?
Can you repeat that question? Sorry.
Sure. Where can we find our will to overcome procrastination?
Yeah. So it's by over, like when we procrastinate, we're living in fear, right? We can't control the outcome. We don't know, you know, if we follow our dreams, is it going to work out the way we think it is? You know, what if we write our book, you know, will it be good or bad? So it's really just about getting into action. One of the things that I think is really important in overcoming procrastination is the mantra, done is better than perfect. And I used to have it taped above my computer, done is better than perfect, because the more action you take, the more confidence you build in yourself. And so it's action leads to confidence, which leads to action. And so when you can just get into action, you build that confidence in yourself. Every time you break a promise to yourself, you're you know, breaking away at your own self-confidence. And so it's so important to just take action and know that it's going to be uncomfortable and know that, you know, you don't need to reread that email 30 times. Just send it. You know, you just need to do a draft of that project. Just start. And then you build your self-confidence. And the more confidence you have, the less you procrastinate.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Some really great tips here, folks. Jamie's asking, can you please cover procrastination? So it will be great, you know, if you could share about our listeners details about what is procrastination? How does it show up in feelings? Now, these are the questions I'm asking you. How does it show up from thoughts into feelings, into words, and into lack of action?
Yeah. So procrastination is, it's resistance. It's, you know, it can be also self-sabotage, right? And so it's really important just to recognize it, you know, just say, you know, I've really been putting off this project, but I'm going to start it. You know, it's about, like, procrastination is just a mechanism that keeps us safe. It's our ego wanting us to stay comfortable and safe, because when we don't procrastinate, when we get into action, when we leave our corporate job to start that business, when we start writing our book, when we leave a toxic relationship, when we have that difficult conversation, we stop putting it off, we're starting to move into our greatness. We're starting to move outside our comfort zone. And so procrastination is really just there to keep us safe. It's just a resistance mechanism. But the reason we procrastinate is because we feel like maybe we're not good enough to start that project, or maybe we don't feel like we're smart enough to complete that project or write that email or have that conversation. And really, it's just about getting uncomfortable and doing it. And you feel better about yourself when you do. Does that answer the question?
It sure does. It does answer the question. And folks, one of the quotes that I really like is Theodore Roosevelt's quote, which says, or which goes something like this: in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. Now, of course, we don't know that. The next best, my apologies, I'll say it again, in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing.
Right. Right. An indecision is a decision.
Mm-hmm. And so many times people are not aware of that. So right. Talk a little bit more about indecision.
Yeah. So indecision and procrastination are related. When we don't make a decision on something, you know, like we're trying to decide between, asking for a promotion or not, right? So we're trying to make a decision. Do I ask for that promotion or do I not? And so we sit in indecision and it sucks the energy out of life. Like when you can just make a decision, you know, I'm not going to ask for that promotion right now, or I'm just going to go and I'm going to ask for it. It's making a decision in your life. Indecision is just, it's an excuse. It's a coping mechanism for playing smaller in our lives and keeping us the same. It's just like procrastination. And when we are in indecision, it's because we don't trust ourselves. And that's the thing too, is with perfectionism, we've lost our self-trust. We've been outsourcing our self-trust to other people for so long that we don't know how to make our own decisions. We're so far removed from our, from our intuition and our decision-making skill set, that we just think, well, I'm not going to make a decision because I can't make the perfect one. You know, I don't know to say yes or to no, or to apply for that promotion or not. And so I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. But that's actually a decision, and it really zaps your energy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely zaps your energy, because at the back of your mind, you do
right.
know.
Yes.
No matter, you take you everywhere, folks, and you know that you're not taking that decision and what could be at the other end. So it's almost right. like when one of the things that happens is if you're thinking, what if I were to fail? Turn that question around and ask, you know, what if you could succeed? Or what if you succeeded? And so thoughts have a, you know, perfectionism can be such a abstract trait, but it's about that internal pressures. You know, for example, especially it's about the desire to avoid failure or judgment from someone. And you talked about people pleasing. So talk about that social component, which is prevalent, especially among young people.
Yeah. So with like people pleasing, the reason we people please is because we're using other people's responses and happiness to determine our happiness. Like if I please that person, then I'm worthy. If I can make that person happy, then I'm worthy. If I can do that project and be that yes person for that someone, then I'm worthy. And perfectionism is all about using external things to determine our worthiness versus really coming into our own worthiness. It's about using all sorts of things outside of ourselves to feel worthy. And it just keeps us playing small. You were talking about that what if question earlier. And one of the techniques I use with my clients is flipping the switch from what if. What if is very fear-based, it's very perfectionism-based, and switching it to even if, which is trust-based. So instead of, well, what if I ask for that promotion and I don't get it, which is perfectionism, switch it to, mm-hmm. So even if I don't get that, even if I ask for that promotion and I don't get it, I'm going to be okay. And I make that switch, like the what if to even if switch, all the time. Like it's something that you could use in, you know, during the day, many times a day when you find yourself what-ifing, which is fear and perfectionism, because we what if because we don't know the outcome. But guess what? None of us are fortune tellers. So it's all about trust, even if it's going to be okay.
Definitely. It's definitely a great tip right here, moving from fear-based to positive-based and trust-based. So you had mentioned that, you know, you had Adderall and then you found yourself walking towards that rehabilitation. So can you tell your story? What went on from being addicted to Adderall to being free for 5.5 years? So during that time, what happened?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. So I went to
Vitaly, you can't hear you again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to treatment for 2 weeks and then I went to outpatient.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And treatment for 3 months where I could still work my corporate job, but I did that in the evening. And it was interesting. I still had my body image issues and my perfectionism issues when I got sober. So I had removed the Adderall, but I had not healed my perfectionism and my control. And so after I got sober, I developed an eating disorder. And I got down to 100 pounds, and it consumed my life just like Adderall. And it consumed my life for 2 years. So for the first 2 years of my sobriety, you know, I was going to meetings and doing all that, but I was obsessed with what food I ate and working out 7 days a week. And it really consumed me. And I didn't start healing it until, like, I started doing work on it when I finally said out loud, I have an eating disorder. Because for me, what I viewed as eating disorders was someone in a hospital bed from a Lifetime movie. You know, I thought, you know, I'm fine, I feel fine. But my psychiatrist was like, well, if you have an unhealthy relationship with food, you have an eating disorder. And I was like, well, I definitely have an unhealthy relationship with food. So when I finally said out loud, I have an eating disorder, I started healing it. And then what really began healing it was I became the guardian of my nephew. And when he came into my life, after 2 years of sobriety, I knew that I didn't want to model my eating disorder behavior with him. And so I got really active in healing it. And then I realized, you know, perfectionism really was my main addiction. You know, my eating disorder was a symptom of my perfectionism. My Adderall addiction was a symptom of my perfectionism, but perfectionism was my main addiction.
Well, kudos to you for sharing, because, you know, there's so many people out there. Sometimes these are difficult conversations that we don't have. And especially if you're in a corporate world, you gotta be tough, you gotta suck it up. And yes, you know, now the culture is becoming more and more open, but it's still a taboo to talk about your feelings. So kudos to you, Vitaly.
Thank you.
Definitely. So Tammy's asking a question. What if we try and it does not get better than what we had started out with?
So what if you try to heal your perfectionism, but it doesn't get better?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, for me, I believe that healing is an everyday intention. So I believe that if you are intentionally working on your perfectionism stuff under the guidance of the right person, the right therapist, coach, whomever it is, I believe you'll get better. But you also have to want to get better, and you have to be willing to do uncomfortable things. For me, I healed my eating disorder when I was like, oh my gosh, like, this has been running my life just like my Adderall addiction was running my life. I don't want to live this way anymore. Oftentimes, sometimes even subconsciously, we are attached to the things that aren't serving us anymore. My eating disorder was a coping mechanism for control that was from my childhood. My childhood was very chaotic. I grew up in an alcoholic home, and so I wanted to be perfect. I wanted control. But that control didn't serve me as an adult. And so it was a conscious choice to heal it. But I couldn't just say one day, I'm going to heal my eating disorder. It is something that every day I work on. And it gets easier and easier. But I believe if you do the work and you're committed to it and you're committed to doing the right things and you're guided by the right person, you will see results. And I say that because that's what I've experienced for myself, and that's what my clients have experienced as well. I believe that if you are committed to the change, you will see it. But it takes work, and it's worth it, but it takes work for sure.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I've found is, you know, when people say, oh, yeah, you know, this 5-minute hack and this 2-minute thing, you know, just do these things for 2 minutes and 3 minutes, to me, well, if it happens, power to you, you know, nothing like it. What I definitely picked on, and I definitely agree with, is that, you know, each and every one of us has that drive for excelling. So that's, again, we need to kind of focus on that also, that, you know, how can people differentiate between that drive for excelling and wanting to be the best version and perfectionism?
Right. And really the difference is it coming from love or is it coming from fear? You know, like the drive for excellence is, you know, when it, like for me, when I was in my corporate career, you know, I wanted to be the best out of fear because I wanted to make more money. I wanted to make more money because I thought that I needed to be worthy for money. Like I wanted to climb the corporate ladder because I thought that being the director of my department was what I needed to be worthy. And so that was me like punishing myself with perfectionism. Now, when I improve myself in my career, it's because I want to make a bigger impact on people's lives. Like it's bigger than me. And so I, you know, it's really like, is your intention love or is your intention fear?
No, definitely. And that again, you know, you had mentioned about that recognition and awareness and being aware of things and accepting yourself. So I love the idea, like, you know, whether it's coming from love or fear. And to do that, you need work.
Right.
And when I say work, is it's not about the corporate work. It's about the desire and will to do what it takes. And knowing that it's not just going to be gone in a day or so. And it's about becoming that knowledge leader. So this is something new term that I've been working with, knowledge leader is, and that knowledge leader is what it is that a leader who is acquiring those skills and knowledge to continuously improve their lives. And folks, remember, it's continuous improvement. There's no like you're one and done. It's like brushing your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, you'll collect black. Same thing with this, folks.
Yeah, right. So it's really like it takes work the thing is, if we want a better life, we have to do, like, if we want a different life, we have to do things differently. And so if you want to live your dreams, it takes getting uncomfortable, believing in yourself, taking that risk. Like, I have been committed to my growth for 5.5 years. And that's been something I'm committed to because obviously I help my clients grow, but it's really important. It's a daily, healing is a daily, daily intention and action.
Mm-hmm. You said it. Now, just for like a, you know, little fun, because it's important to have some fun too. Are you up for it?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is, usually sometimes I'll ask one set of questions, but we are going to do a mix of play today. And as you said, spontaneity.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes spontaneity is so important. Is like, so what we are going to do is, I'm going to ask you one question, which is like just a quick question, answer it in one word. And then I'll give you one word and then we'll do a play on words.
Okay.
Fantastic. Control.
Fear.
Mm-mm. Letting go. Two words.
letting go. Freedom and release. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Socially driven.
Inauthentic.
Mm-hmm. High standards.
Unrealistic or expectation.
Mm-hmm. Behavior.
What is that one again? Sorry.
Behavior.
Habits.
Performance.
You said performance?
Mm-hmm.
Intention.
Purpose.
Healing.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety.
Fear.
Meditation.
Now, that's really the healing. So I'll say healing for that one, too.
That's absolutely fine. And what we're seeing is there's the emergence of a trend here. As we are going through different words, we are coming back to healing. And modalities may be different. It's almost like, you know, if you want to go to LA, you can take a car, you can take a bus, you can drive yourself, you can take a plane, or maybe you can even take a cart. I don't know if you include that or not, like a golf cart and go. It would probably be, depending where you are going from, maybe from a golf course to LA. But the thing is that, as you mentioned, you know, it's really crucial to come back to healing. And as you had mentioned, when you heal within, that's what you radiate. And folks, yeah, that's the key. It's about working on that inner landscape. So there are several different types of perfectionisms. Do you relate to that and go into different types of perfectionisms or not?
So I heal, like help my clients heal the various types of perfectionism. Do you want me to talk further about them or what's helpful for the audience?
Yeah. You know, it would be great if our listeners could know what different types of perfectionisms are so that way they can recognize it. And maybe like, you know, as you're talking about one perfectionism, even kind of give a, like a tip how to recognize it and how to overcome it.
Yeah. So a symptom of perfectionism is procrastination. Like we've talked a lot about that. We've talked a lot about that earlier in the show. And that's when you are, you know, questioning yourself, when you continue to push off deadlines, when you are missing deadlines, stalling the start of a project, but that's procrastination. Approval seeking and people pleasing is when we put others' needs in front of ours in an unhealthy way, when we don't have any boundaries. You know, when we're always feeling busy and stressed, that's a sign of perfectionism, because we feel like we need to be busy all the time and productive to be worthy. Control is a huge symptom of perfectionism, feeling like we need to control the outcome. So we avoid having a difficult conversation or conflict, or, you know, we think that other people's behaviors are a reflection of ours and we want to control it. Self-judgment and criticism is a symptom of perfectionism. You know, when we're constantly being hard on ourselves and beating ourselves up, that's a symptom of perfectionism. You know, unrealistic expectations of ourselves and others is a symptom. You know, when we're holding ourselves to these ridiculous standards, and then we also, because we're unhealed, we project those unrealistic standards onto others. When we struggle with our own body image and weight issues. So, you know, when we're needing to work out constantly, or maybe we're binging as a coping mechanism. feeling stuck, not feeling like we have a purpose, feeling indecisive, not being able to trust our own decisions. Those are just some of the symptoms of perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. And do they fall under any particular category of perfectionism, or for our listeners' purposes, it's just kind of good, like, you know, perfectionism is perfectionism?
I see it as, yeah, perfectionism is perfectionism.
Okay. That definitely makes sense. So what would be some quick tips? So now, okay, you have shared with us, you know, what could be construed as the symptoms of perfectionism, you know, procrastination being one of them. Do you have any easy to implement tips that people can take from our show and implement in their lives?
Yeah. So the first step is really just becoming a curious observer of your own thoughts. So the first step to healing perfectionism is just getting aware. What are the things that you're saying to yourself that are really negative? And even what are some of the things that you're saying about yourself? And so getting really clear on, you know, where is, like, what things am I saying to myself and how am I being harsh on myself? And not in a shameful way. So when you say, like, say that you feel jealous of a friend for getting a promotion. And as a perfectionist, we then feel bad because we're jealous of our friend. You know, we're like, we're such a bad person. I should be celebrating my friend. I shouldn't be jealous of her. You know, why can't I just celebrate her? And as a curious observer, instead of beating ourselves up, we say, that's interesting that I'm jealous. What does that mean? Maybe that jealousy is a sign that I need to ask for a promotion in my job. Maybe that jealousy is a sign that I need to step it up in my career. And so really just becoming a curious observer of our thoughts. So instead of shaming ourselves over procrastinating, just saying, that's interesting that I'm procrastinating. Huh. You know, like just becoming this curious observer. And then the next step is when we can identify how perfectionism is showing up, we have to infuse love into our lives with self-compassion tools, because love and perfectionism cannot coexist. Where there is love, there is not perfectionism. So there are several mantras that I let my clients use to work on their perfectionism. There's also tools like that what if to even if that helps with the perfectionism. Daily gratitude helps with perfectionism. But the three mantras that my clients use, and that's something that audience, that listeners can use and take away and even use them this evening or tomorrow. But the three mantras are, I give myself room to be human, which I love because as perfectionists, we think we need to have it all figured out. And so when you can say, I give myself room to be human, you can really start healing yourself and give yourself permission to make mistakes and give yourself permission to learn and not know it all. My other one is, and I shared this earlier, is done is better than perfect. That's the second mantra. And then the third mantra is, I allow myself to evolve. Because again, as perfectionists, we don't give ourselves permission to evolve. We're black and white thinkers, yes or no, you know, like right or wrong. We don't give ourselves, you know, we don't allow ourselves to change. We need to have it all figured out right now perfectly. But when you can allow yourself to evolve, things change. So when I started my business, everyone was like, well, what are you going to call your business, Vitali? Like, you need to have a catchy name. And I was like, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to call myself Vitali Buford Coaching for right now because I don't know the direction my business is going to go, and I'm just going to put up a website. It doesn't need to be done is better than perfect, and I'm just going to allow myself to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. No, definitely. So,
and then there's really quickly a third step, which is getting into action. So if you're a people pleaser and you have a hard time saying no, you just got to start saying no. If you're someone who's procrastinating, you got to start taking action. If you're struggling with your own body image, You know, like if you're working out 7 days a week, start working out 5 days a week. So there's just different ways, but it's about getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and just taking massive action.
Mm-hmm. Taking massive action. That's really good. And as you had mentioned, right, action breeds confidence and confidence breeds action. So it's just kind of about taking your time, not to be indecisive, but like even taking small actions, taking those baby steps, learning how to fall. And one of the things that I've found is that embracing failure, to me, failure is not failure. It's an opportunity to learn, because if you were not to fail, how would you learn? How would you figure out what does not work?
Yeah, and failure is a sign of success. The more you're failing, the more you're succeeding.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody were to reach out, please do share about your contact information, where people can find you, and when your book will be coming out.
Yeah. So I'm most active on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is just Vitali Buford. And you can also email me, which is Vitali@gmail.com, which is Vitale@gmail.com. And then my book, Addicted to Perfect, is already on pre-sale on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but it hits bookstores on March 30th. So you can go ahead and pre-order it if you want. And in fact, I'm happy to, if you pre-order it and you email me, I'll send you the electronic advanced copy.
Fantastic. So if you can share your email again, that'll be great.
Yeah, it's Vitali@gmail.com. And that is Vitale@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. So folks, there you have it. And anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I'm passionate about helping people heal their perfectionism. You know, like perfectionism puts a limit on your life, and the dreams you were given, you are given on purpose, and that means you have the power to make them happen. So believe in yourself, believe in the power of your dreams, and start taking massive action, because you're worth it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And Vitali, can you tell us what's next for you?
Yeah. So for me, I'm working on my book tour in April, and relaunching my coaching programs on perfectionism. So I have a perfectionism accelerator program that's 6 weeks that starts in April. And I have a perfectionism mastermind that starts this summer.
Oh, fantastic. And this has been awesome. You know, you have given us really some great nuggets. And that's the fun part for me, because not only am I supporting you, audience, by bringing people who know a whole lot more on different topics than I do, this is such a good way of learning. Not only I get to serve and support you, I get to learn and meet some great people. So thank you, Vitali, for sharing with us your knowledge and openly your life story. And listeners, of course, you know, you have been fantastic as always asking questions. So do reach out and let me know what type of stories you want me to bring for you, or if you have any burning topics, burning issues in life, where we can talk about on this podcast so you can live the life you deserve. You can be the best person you can be. And as we have talked about, in this episode, it's not about comparing with others. It's about just being the best you are and better than who you were yesterday. And yes, even if you fail, it's okay. You are a human being. It's not about falling. It's about falling down and rising back up. So thank you for joining us. And last but not the least, Rebel, for making this show possible. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Vitali. And thank you, Rebel. Be brilliant until next time. Take care.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Park shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyapark.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyapark.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.